This is WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. In all the commotion about whether doctors should screen patients to prevent gun injuries and death, there's a big missing piece. What questions to patients will deliver answers that matter? This morning, WBUR's Martha Biebinger introduces us to a doctor in one of Boston's homicide hotspots who's determined to figure that out.
This quest for Dr. Kamal Karanja began almost 2 years ago when a mom brought her 16-year-old son in for his annual checkup and all the usual questions.
It's about how school's going and safety and bike helmets and those sorts of things.
The boy's mom was worried because her son's grades were dropping and he'd started coming home late.
So we talked a little bit about referring him to counseling or some way to coordinate with his teachers. And then I found out about a week later that he had actually been murdered.
Police at the time said it was a possible gang-related shooting.
We don't lose many children in primary care, and this was the first time that I had lost somebody to violence.
In hindsight, Karanja could see that the problems in school and coming home late were red flags. But what else could Karanja have done? What more should he have asked? Slowly, cautiously, Karanja began testing some gun-related routine checkup questions.
We tried the question of, have you experienced any violence, either among friends or family? And that question wasn't very good because everybody was saying yes. We tried the question of, do you carry a weapon? And that one wasn't very good just because kids obviously didn't want to disclose that they may be doing something that could get them in trouble.
Karanja says he looked for guidance from medical societies about how to screen patients at risk for homicide and found little, if anything, of use. So Bowdoin Street Health Center, where Karanja is the medical director, went to the source.
My name is Carlos.
My name is Samira.
My name is Nigel.
My name is Taylor.
My name is Ashani.
My name is Jakai.
16 members of Bowdoin Street's youth leadership program settle into chairs in a semicircle. We're only using the teens' first names to protect them from retaliation.
So this kind, I'm going to give you the background information behind this. This kind of came around because
Albiert Altine Gibson, Bowdoin Street's manager of community health, tells the youth leaders Dr. Karanja's story.
And so what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to ask you all some questions just to hear your honest feedback, your honest opinion.
There are 7 questions written on posters around the room. The goal? To find out which ones young people would answer in an exam room, which ones might help save a life.
So we can start on this wall here. Have you been involved in any fights this year? If so, how many? Show of hands, how many of you would feel comfortable answering that question if your doctor asked?
More than half of the teen leaders raise a hand. Jamari does not.
Because if my doctor is asking me if I got into a fight, I would think like, oh, am I going to get in trouble or whatever.
Let's say if there was a fight or whatever, and they asked you, well, is this issue over? Is it done with? Would you feel comfortable answering that question?
Taylor hesitates.
If I don't know the fight's not, like, over, then, like, if I tell my doctor that, what if, like, she tries to, like, intervene?
I agree with Taylor, what she said.
Nyjah also worries about what her doctor might do.
She's going to try to, like, get into the situation and try to make sure I'm safe, but possibly make things worse.
For example, says Matthew, when the doctor says,
like, I have to bring it up to your parents.
Then, leaning in.
That's why you can't trust doctors.
Unless, says Matthew, they promise not to tell.
That will allow for trust to be built, and it would allow for people to be more comfortable talking about any situation. Does anybody else agree?
I agree.
Shakaya agrees, as long as the doctor doesn't call in a therapist.
Like, sometimes I just like to keep myself to myself, like not trying to like express it to other people.
There's general agreement about answering 2 of the proposed questions. Do you worry about your safety in school? And have you visited an emergency room lately? But on the most probing ones, have you personally been affected by violence? Have you ever felt you had to carry a weapon to feel safe? And do you have friends or family members involved in gangs?
Show of hands for me, please. How many folks would feel comfortable?
Altina Gibson hits a wall of resistance and a flood of reasons why.
I'll give him a hard skirt.
Meaning no answer, no way, says Jakai.
If you're in a gang or something, if I say anything about that, then yes, you're a target.
That's like my business and their business, not the doctor's. And like,
this is Olivia.
Doctor's probably going to snitch, so no.
All right, so people are feeling a little suspicious as to why the doctors are going to be would ask you that question, it sounds like. All right? Or that somehow or another this information would get out to someone that you don't want it getting out for.
And then, says Jordan, there's the pain these questions might dredge up.
Let's say if you somebody very close to you died. If you say that in front of your doctor, you're going to have like a probably nervous breakdown, which you probably don't want to have in front of your doctor because it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's a fair assessment.
Altina Gibson wraps up with a request for any last comments. Nyjah has one. Maybe instead of looking for signs of violence, doctors could ask,
do you need anything? Like, is there anything I can do? Is there anything that, like, I can connect you to? Because, like, everybody needs something.
One gun rights leader is not surprised by the resistance from some of these teens. Dr. Robert Young, with Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, says it reinforces the group's position that physicians asking patients about guns is both inappropriate and ineffective.
To ask someone who's at risk for these reasons whether they have access to firearm seems kind of ridiculous to me, because if they are in this kind of situation, they're going to say no anyway.
There is very little data on how many physicians ask their patients about access to guns or about whether doing so prevents injury or death. Dr. Eric Gorelnik tracks the research as chairman of a Massachusetts Medical Society committee that looks at gun-related health risks. He's working on a pilot gun screening project in the emergency room at Brigham and Women's Hospital, where he works.
We're looking for a solution. Every firearm death is a preventable death. And we are in the business of preventing death and injury.
At Bowdoin Street, Dr. Karanja is wrestling with the responses from his youth leaders. He worries about their mistrust, but he cannot promise blanket privacy. Doctors are required to report a patient in imminent danger. Karanja says he's leaning toward more general questions about safety or injuries, some way to get at the impact of violence on his patients.
They have to go around with this added burden of grief about people they've lost, but also fear about, you know, whether they're going to be around tomorrow.
Karanja says he isn't sure about the timing of his project, but he is aware it's summer, the season when there's often a spike in violence. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.